you in the 06010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast presented by Geico. I'm Daniel Dopp. You have not accidentally tuned into the Fantasy Focus DFS podcast in spite of seeing Mike Clay here to my left. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
You're not Ron.
I am not.
Or Field.
I am not Field either.
Matthew.
I am not Matthew.
Or Stefania.
Nope.
Or anyone I'm familiar with. This is weird.
This is weird. You and I are going to get everybody ready for week 13. Stoked about it. It's going to be a ton of fun. Obviously, Stefania is going to join us in just a little bit to be able to break down all the injuries and everything that you guys need to know heading in to the Week 13 schedule. But first, and most importantly this week, Mike, is V-Week, something that we are very excited and passionate about here. If you are able to give, and we understand that this year has been crazier than any other year, so we totally understand wherever you are at, but if you are at all able to give, please donate now at v.org/donate. v.org/donate. 100% of what you give goes directly to cancer research. It's something that has absolutely impacted everybody, not only on this show as people that have had cancer or that we've known that have had cancer, but in this world. It's a thing that we just, you know, we feel very passionate about, and it's something that we want to push really hard. And obviously the end goal is to just not have cancer in the world anymore. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could help do
amazing.
That?
That would be amazing.
So
well said.
We're going to get a full slate of games in today, Mike, and we're going to be joined first and foremost by our friend Stefania Bell from the Chateau de Cone. Stefania, how are you doing today?
I'm good. You know, I told you, I'm like that little bush in the cartoon that I move from one spot to another to another. You never know where I'm going to pop up. So
I'm hoping Rico makes an appearance today. We're really excited about potentially being able to have Rico on the show, in all honesty.
Mm-hmm. Rico is at my feet. He's got to chew so that hopefully there is no barking. But as you know, at the Chateau, sometimes you have visitors. So
that's true.
If somebody shows up unexpectedly,
yep,
you may hear some noise.
We have a lot of room
but
in
it's
here.
It's giving week. So, hey.
Yeah, we.
Look at booyah.
We have a lot of room in here. We should bring our pets. I mean, a lot of sofa space here. I mean,
a lot of sofa space.
And that's really what people want to see.
Exactly.
Being honest here.
Yeah, the pets. It would be great if our pets just did the show for once.
That would be. Yeah, I know.
Well, speaking of, not to say that we've taken a minute to be able to get into the show, but the game that we watched yesterday afternoon left a little to be desired from a fantasy mm-hmm. standpoint, I would say, Mike Clay. You know, the Steelers pull out a victory against basically a practice squad team of the Ravens. Is there any big fantasy takeaways that you feel like we need to touch on before we project ahead to Week 13?
Well, yeah, like half of the players are just going back to the practice squad today, right? Because it was just basically like a Week 17 game or a preseason game. It was rough around the edges, especially early on for Baltimore. But really, you could say that for Pittsburgh, too. They had a hard time, too. They would work their way all the way down the field if you missed the game, and then they just couldn't punch it in for a touchdown. That game really could have been one-sided, but well done by the Ravens secondary, for sure. But the big takeaway here really is Benny Snell, right? We didn't know exactly how backfield touches would be distributed in this game without James Conner, and it was pretty clear right off the bat. It was Benny Snell. He played 70% of the snaps. He had 16 carries, 4 targets, and put 93 yards on the board. Now, James Conner may miss this week as well, right? So mm-hmm. if he is out against Washington, you know where to go. You know to go back to Benny Snell. Now, Washington is very good against running backs, third fewest fantasy points this season. They haven't faced a lot of volume, but you know that could be the case in this game as well. We know that the Steelers don't really throw to their running backs either, so that's something that could keep Snell's value in check, just as it has James Conner this season. Mm-hmm. But when you're playing 70% of the snaps and handling most of the carries and you get a handful of targets, it could lead to at least RB2 numbers. So if he's out there on waivers this week, go ahead and scoop him up tonight, really. Tonight, waivers should clear overnight in most leagues. So pick him up and you can use him as an RB2 or at least a flex option in week 13.
Absolutely. Definitely something if you are a James Conner manager, you need to have Benny Snell in your lineup. If you are not a James Conner manager, then absolutely swoop in and grab him because he could totally be useful this week. All right. Projecting ahead to week 13, Stefania, we're going to bring you in here because we have so many different things to get into. But first and foremost, like we always do, what COVID updates do we have that we need to know about that could impact players this week?
Well, you know, there's a few folks who've been activated off the COVID, the reserve COVID-19 list, starting with Brandon Ayuk, the wide receiver for San Francisco, the rookie who's already made an impact but has missed a couple of weeks because of that. Jonathan Taylor, the Colts, he missed a game because of being on the COVID-19 list. He is back. And Adam Thielen, for the Vikings is back. So, you know, certainly Adam Thielen is going to be in everybody's lineup. You can talk it through about Jonathan Taylor and Brandon Ayuk, whether you think that's noteworthy for fantasy, but certainly they are potential players for this week in your lineups.
Absolutely. Mike, anybody there that's going to potentially impact us based on where you go from that? Because we saw Justin Jefferson have a heck of a game last week. Obviously, if Adam Thielen weren't able to go, we really like Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, no question. I mean, Thielen and Jefferson at this point are lineup locked, so there's nothing really to talk about there. Put them in your lineup. They're both very good, and Kirk Cousins just basically sends over half of his targets to those two guys anyway. So they're in your lineup. Taylor, for me, I'm not sure if we're going to get him to him today if he's on our list here. We have a lot of names to get to, but right, he's just inside my top 20. Handled a bulk of the touches the last time we saw him, so I think he's a borderline RB2. And Ayuk, he's a little tricky with, you know, we haven't seen a lot of Samuel and Ayuk together this season. The one game, I think it was only one game we did where they were both a full go, and Ayuk had just a couple of targets. He scored a touchdown, but only had a few targets in that game. I think it was against the Rams. So a little less confident, but I think he's at least on a borderline flex option.
Okay. Stefania, I also want to come back to you and talk here about Josh Jacobs, somebody that we've been monitoring. Obviously, been keeping an eye on Devontae Booker based on Josh Jacobs' availability. But what can you tell us about Jacobs for this week?
Well, if you recall, when he was injured, getting taken down by that tackle resulted in an ankle injury. And John Gruden was really nervous after the game about what the status for Jacobs would be going into this week. Then they got the results of some evaluation, and they said, look, it's not as serious as we thought, and he actually sounded pretty optimistic. And then on Wednesday, Josh Jacobs did not practice. So I would say that his status is very much up in the air. Obviously, a lot can change. We have two more full days of practice to go before you get into the team injury status updates. But my guess is that he's going to come in as questionable, and knowing Josh Jacobs will push to play, but this could come down to a game time decision. We will see.
Is this one of those situations, Stefania, where if he is up and running that you're having him in your fantasy lineup, or if he, is there any chance that you would see him limited to the point where you would be worried about it?
It's a tough question with this one, right? Because if you had Josh Jacobs last week, you know what happens when he's limited, and it's ugly. And they may lean on Devontae Booker if Josh Jacobs isn't 100%, but yet he still wants to be out there and play. We actually saw this happen back in the day when I believe it was Latavius Murray who was backing him up, but Josh Jacobs would push to play and maybe not be 100% and sometimes struggle to get through the game, but at least he'd be out there. That's the nature of who he is. So it depends what your options are, as our friend Matthew Berry likes to say. But, you know, if he's out there, he's going to try and handle the bulk of the work, but it may be a evaluate as you go for the team. And if he's struggling, then he just comes out of the game.
Sure. Mike, I'm going to assume that if Josh Jacobs plays, you're going to play him. My question is, if he doesn't play, how high up in your ranks does Devontae Booker move?
It's going to be hard to have a low projection on him. Sometimes guys step in and there's just no other backs there, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to give them 70% of the carries and a handful of targets. And we've seen it before. Remember in the revenge game, right, against the Broncos, Booker had a huge fantasy day, and he showed us that he can handle a pretty big workload. He may have 15 carries and three or four targets in this game. You have Jalen Richard there as well. I believe he was out last week, so we'll see if he's a go in this game. He can handle some passing down work, but I mean, at the very minimum, the projection will come out and show Booker as a clear RB2 option. They're playing the Jets too, so even if Jacobs plays, I mean, Booker could have some value. But yeah, I mean, Jacobs plays, you start him against the Jets. If not, Booker is a must start.
Yeah, love that. All right, Stefania, Miles Gaskin obviously dealing with the knee injury. Fantasy managers wondering, are they going to be able to have him this week in their lineup?
The Dolphins are hopeful that they're going to get him back. He was on injured reserve since week 9 with that knee sprain and MCL injury. And he came back to practice last week, and I think people got excited about the prospect of him returning. But Dolphins weren't quite ready to put him out there. And that was consistent with what Brian Flores has said when Gaskin initially was hurt, that 3 weeks would be the minimum amount of time. So I think it depends how comfortable they are with what he's able to do throughout the rest of the week. But at this point, the Dolphins are hopeful that they get him back. They're also hopeful they get Savon Ahmed back, who missed last week because of a shoulder injury.
Mike, is there a Dolphins running back that you would start this week? Assuming they come in healthy, is there somebody that you feel like is worth having in your fantasy lineup?
I mean, I want to start Gaskin. I have him on like all of my teams, so I hope so. But and look, the last time we saw Gaskin, he was terrific, right? Weeks five through eight, he was the number six scoring fantasy running back in points per game. He had 21 or more touches in all three of those games. The volume was good. He was producing. He was a feature back, almost in the vein of James Robinson. We know how much of a workhorse he has been. So I want to say Gaskin, and I think if he plays, I'll rank him as like I have him RB16 right now, but it's tricky because DeAndre Washington looked good last week, and Ahmed could be back in this game as well. So since he's been out for so long, it makes this one a little bit tricky. But if you couldn't stay away, give it a week if you could possibly pull that off. Now, by the way, if Ahmed is out or Gaskin's out and Ahmed's back, then it starts to shake up a little bit, and then you feel a little bit more confident. So keep an eye on that one.
Absolutely. Another thing that we've been keeping an eye on, Stefania, Deshaun Watson lost Will Fuller this week, obviously, as we know. Is there a chance that he will have David Johnson back in the backfield to be able to alleviate some of those offensive concerns we now have?
Well, you know, when someone goes on IR, the first thing we look at is when they are designated for return. And that's what happened with David Johnson yesterday. So it sounds like the Texans have at least opened the window for him to come back. We'll see what happens in practice. He's obviously been out, missed time because of a concussion. So we'll see how he looks this week. But that is the first step, is designating him for return. And that has happened.
All right, Mike, if that happens, obviously, David Johnson, you would think, based on what's available there, would become a low-end RB2, a high-end flex play for you?
And no question. I have him RB20 right now, assuming that he does play. It's a tough matchup against the Colts, of course. Now, that's weird to say after Derrick Henry just rolled over them, and they haven't been quite as dominant against the run as of late. But keep an eye on the status of DeForest Buckner. If he's back in this game, that'll certainly help that run defense. If he's out, that obviously boosts Johnson a little bit. But remember, Johnson, before he went down, not much upside, right? Certainly he was lacking a ceiling, but five straight top 25s, was getting a little over 12 carries and three targets per game. That's decent RB2 production. So you take that, it's a pretty good scoring offense. That should still continue with Deshaun Watson under center, even if Will Fuller's out, or he is out, of course. But it is a tough matchup. So for me, RB20.
If he doesn't roll, where would Duke Johnson slide in for you? I'm assuming he's a little bit lower than that because he's just not quite the player that David Johnson is.
No, I would say probably a little higher because Duke Johnson is going to have to play a larger role in the passing game for sure. And he already has, right? He has since David Johnson's been out, but we saw him catch that, he ran like a wheel route down the left sideline and caught that touchdown. And without Randall Cobb and without Will Fuller and Kenny Stills was cut loose, I mean, they're going to continue to use him in the passing game, whether he's the starter or whether David Johnson's back for sure. So I like David Johnson. In fact, I'd probably rank him just a little bit higher because it's CJ Procise handling a few carries.
Right.
If David Johnson's out, otherwise it's all Duke Johnson, as has been the case the past month. So he'd probably be like RB16, but same difference, right? We're talking about an RB2.
Same range in there. Yeah. All right, Stefania, somebody that is near and dear to my heart, please give me good news here. DeAndre Swift obviously has missed some time. Is there any chance that I can have him back in my fantasy lineup this week?
Well, Daryl Bevel might be wanting to give you some good news. He said yesterday that he's optimistic about DeAndre Swift's chance for returning. He's been out for 2 weeks because of a concussion, but he was back in practice yesterday, and this is the first sighting of him in practice doing limited work. So, you know, with a concussion, just a reminder, there's a lot of, just like with any injury, but concussion's so sensitive in this regard. You want to see how the athlete responds to the work, and so every day it will be a measure of how he responds to the workload to see if he can progress forward.
Mike, if he plays for me, I have him as a top 12 play. It looks like you're right in that same area, but talk to me about this Bears defense and whether or not we need to be concerned about these running backs, not just DeAndre Swift, but I don't think there's another running back you'd start in that Lions backfield, but any concern here about the Bears defense with him?
I mean, I just want to say bad stuff because
go ahead. Because I'm used to it, man. This is my whole life.
I have to offset like your bias.
It's
toward
fine.
Don't
worry about
it. The Lions. look, we know the Bears defense is terrific, right? Yep. And that could cause issues here. But at the same time, the last time we saw DeAndre Swift, he had 26, you know, just short of 26 fantasy points, 21 touches in that game. We wanted DeAndre Swift freed, and we got that right.
Yep.
He's taken over as the lead back in this offense. Now, could he be a little bit limited coming back in this game? I think it's maybe possible. You know, we've seen that before, but I think 15 plus touches is probably pretty safe, and his role in the passing game and his ability should add up to a pretty good RB2 week. And honestly, if he wasn't playing Chicago, he'd probably be in my top 10 just based on the way he's been used. But downgrade him a couple spots, I think it's fine. If you have him, you start DeAndre Swift.
Is there anything here about the narrative of a team firing a coach midseason that next game they just want to come out and prove a point, make a stance of like, hey, you know what? We are football players. Like, anything to that?
Well, you know me, like,
huge narrative.
You have the numbers?
Or, yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can have a narrative. That's fine. Like, bring it, Brent. But, you know, you need some backing. Right?
Sure.
Where's Kyle at?
Yeah.
Backing on?
Already gave it to him.
Yeah. Kyle and I, we talked about this. We went through some of the numbers to be able to talk about whether or not there was a whole lot there as, like, the week after you let a coach go midseason, you know, Daryl Bevel replacing him. Is there a chance maybe you want to put a stamp on this and unlock some of the offense? You know, we're not really sure from that standpoint. So,
and he may not like Swift. Who knows? Like, we don't know. Well, we have to see what happens.
Oh, dear Lord, please don't not like Swift. It'll be terrible.
Kerryon Johnson week. I mean, he's coming off a big game, too. Does he play more? I mean, there are question marks here. But, again, I think your running back options right now, especially with two teams on a bye as well, I mean, you're probably going to feel pretty good starting him.
You'll feel real good about DeAndre Swift. That's fair. All right, Stefania, a couple more here we want to talk about. Are the Giants, by any chance, going to have their starting quarterback in Daniel Jones back here in Week 13?
I don't think so. If you recall, it was Daniel Jones who pulled himself out of the game after he had been out, was evaluated by the medical team, went back in for one play, and just said he felt like he couldn't move or he couldn't throw the ball effectively with the hamstring injury he had. Now, he underwent evaluation after the game, as players always do, and the team felt that the news was better than what they had originally feared. And so if he does miss time, it doesn't sound like it will be as extensive as what they originally were preparing for. That being said, he still needs to be able to perform at the position, be able to move well enough to protect himself, things that we always say. And with him not practicing on Wednesday, I think that you can start reading the tea leaves here that he will be out for at least this week.
So, Mike, how does that affect the rest of the Giants skill position players? Because obviously without Daniel Jones, that's a big impact on their game.
Yeah, so, well, first of all, I mean, Daniel Jones has won top 10 fantasy week this season. So, I mean,
sure.
Even if he plays, you know, you don't plan on starting Daniel Jones this week. I know they're playing Seattle, but they're playing forward. So just something to keep in mind there. As for the other players, I obviously it hurts. I mean, Daniel Jones hasn't been great this season, but he's been better as of late. And Cole McCoy is a backup for a reason. So it's gonna knock them down a tier or two. You know, Sterling Shepard is interesting for sure. I think that you still want to play him. And the reason is this. In his past 22 full games, so go back, we're going back multiple seasons here.
Yep.
His past 22 full games. So, and I say full because there was a game this earlier this season where he had like four targets and got hurt on like his 15th snap. He would have been well on his way. In all of them, he had six or more targets, which is incredible. I mean, no one does that. DeAndre Hopkins doesn't do that. Nobody does that. So 22 straight games with six or more targets, averaging eight targets per game during that span, is 10 or more fantasy points in every game. So talk about a high floor that he has had. And also what we saw in that game was that half of Colt McCoy's completions were to Sterling Shepard when he filled in for Daniel Jones. So I still think you could start him. I have him 25th. Darius Slayton, I don't feel great about. He had zero catches last week, mm-hmm. even though this is a pretty good matchup against Seattle. Evan Ingram, the volume's been good there, and they hand it to him sometimes. So I still think you could start him. But otherwise, that's it. I mean, Shepard, I feel decent about. Ingram, I feel pretty good about. Also tight end. A total disaster. So you probably don't have a better option.
Yeah.
But that's really all I feel great about this week.
Okay. That's fair. Speaking of Evan Engram and moving along with tight ends here, Stefania, somebody that I am hopeful we are going to see back in action this week, Zach Ertz. Is there any chance he'll be on the field for fantasy managers here in week 13?
There's a good chance because there's a 21-day window once you're designated for return, and we're in the last 7 days of that window for Zach Ertz. If you don't return within that window, then that's it for the year. So Zach Ertz was activated, which is another positive sign. He was listed as a limited participant at practice. It's hard to know where he is on the recovery standpoint. I mean, Doug Peterson, when he's talked about him the last 2 weeks, has just said he needs more time, and then said he felt good about him being available this week. Well, as I said, we're in that final week of the window for him to return. So that doesn't necessarily tell me he's 100% and there's full confidence, but I'd like to see how the work goes towards the rest of the week. before you start evaluating how much work is he going to get? You know, how much will they lean on him versus Dallas Goedert, who's obviously been the guy in his absence. But I expect that Zach Ertz will be on the playing field this week for the Eagles.
Yeah, this is one of those situations definitely where we're kind of looking to see how the practice reports shake out for the rest of the week. Obviously, we're recording this on a Thursday, so we'd love to see a little bit more. Mike, assuming that Zach Ertz does suit up and plays on Sunday, Zach Ertz, former top three tight end, Zach Ertz, is he somebody that makes the top 10 of your tight end list, understanding how bad tight end has been this year?
Look, I don't want to start any Eagles right now. I mean, have you seen this team play?
I did watch them.
Awful.
The other night.
I mean, it's hard to believe they're one of, I believe it's five, maybe six teams in the NFL with two or more offensive touchdowns in every game. The other five teams are just like all the best teams in the NFL and the Eagles, which is random. So they give you a slightly high floor, but some of that's come in garbage time the past couple of weeks because they've just been so horrible offensively. That being said, they do send a lot of targets to the tight end. It's a Doug Peterson staple. It's been a Carson Wentz staple as well. In fact, back in weeks one and two, these two were both on the field together. Both of them played over 85% of the snaps. Both of them had seven or more targets in both of those games. And Goddard was a little bit better. He's averaging just under 13.5 fantasy points per game in his six full games this season. Ertz is at 8.3 in his six games. And the Packers have allowed the third fewest fantasy points to tight ends this season, so it is a bit of a tough matchup. And I also should point out that in weeks one and two, they basically had zero at wide receiver, right? Remember, everyone was still hurt. No Alshon, Fulgham, Deshaun, I don't recall if he played. I think he played in that one, but Rager didn't. So it was just a mess at that spot. So perhaps those snaps will be down a little bit. Perhaps Zach Ertz will be limited a bit in his return. But if I had to pick from these two, I'm going Goddard. I have him, I believe I have him seventh on my board, and then I have Ertz 14th. So two tight end leagues, yeah, you could take a flyer on Ertz, but in one tight end leagues, Goddard's your guy. For one more week, at least.
For one more week. Yeah. I'm so hopeful that they get both of them back and that they're able to use Goddard and Ertz because they need some pass catchers there that can just... right now, you need playmakers. And I understand it's really difficult for that whoever's at quarterback with that offensive line, but got to find ways to be able to get the balls in playmakers' hands.
Here's the thing. I hear you. They've had all kind of injury issues, and I'm a long-time Carson Wentz apologist, but, I mean, he's not seeing the field
he's
right now. These guys are getting open, and he's not looking at them or throwing them the ball. You can watch him take the snap and stare down a wide receiver and just wait until he gets open and then throw it whether he's open or not, and then maybe start to look at his second read. Guys are open. You know, they just he needs to get him the football. So I don't know what the adjustment is they have to make.
Yep.
You know, I'm not a Doug Peterson by any means, but there's potential there for that offense. They just have to find a way to unlock it down the stretch here and make a playoff run.
Hopefully Zach Ertz is what unlocks that potential. Fingers crossed for not just Eagles fans, but for fantasy managers as well. All right. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I'll bet it can be hard work too. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Businesses have had to be flexible this year, from working remotely to pivoting their business models for long-term survival and growth. If you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you have to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier, ZipRecruiter.com/06010. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's ZipRecruiter.com/06010. Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, we've got a couple more players we're going to run past Stefania because this Falcons and Saints game has a bunch of big red cues that has us all nervous. So, Stefania, why don't we start on the Falcons side? Run us through a couple of players here that we need to know about, starting with Todd Gurley.
Right. So everyone I'm going to tell you about was limited in practice on Wednesday. So just across the board, they did limited work. But Todd Gurley, obviously the knee is a concern. It caused him to miss last week's game. And they really haven't said much about it. But Raheem Morris basically said that they will take him day by day this week. And I think that means it's touch and go as far as Todd Gurley's status. So again, Falcons not saying much about it. He did have limited practice on Wednesday. We'll see how his knee responds, if he's able to do that and more on Thursday and Friday, and we'll have a better idea going into the weekend. Meanwhile, Julio Jones, who missed the game with a hamstring injury, also limited, also the same response from Raheem Morris, taking it day by day, but did indicate that he was hopeful that Julio could return for this week's contest. Hayden Hurst has been on the injury report with an ankle issue, but he has yet to miss a game this year. There was one game he played in where he had 0 points and didn't do anything, and that was right around the time he injured the ankle, but he has been present for every game. I expect him to be there. And then Calvin Ridley, as you know, missed time with a foot injury. He's been on the injury report ever since, doing limited work and practice through the week, but I anticipate that he will be out there. The plan is for him to play.
All right. It feels like Stefania just listed the entire Falcons starting offense for fantasy, unfortunately.
All right, we're done, right?
I think that's it.
30, we can cover it.
What do you do here with Todd Gurley? You look at what this Falcons team did against the Saints in Week 11, and the running backs, to say they struggled is a massive understatement. 14 carries for 52 yards that week. For all running backs combined, their longest run was 7 yards. Is Todd Gurley somebody that you still feel like needs to be in fantasy managers' lineups? Or is this one of those, if you don't have anybody else, at least he's going to be out there kind of a play?
Look, we have enough of a sample of this version of Todd Gurley to know what he is, right? He's been the same guy since early last season with the Rams. If he scores a touchdown, and he could score 2 touchdowns, but if he scores a touchdown, you're probably going to get an okay RB today. If he doesn't, it's going to be a disaster. And that's even more so the case recently, because over his past 5 games, he's under 3 yards per carry. He has a total of 3 catches for 5 yards in his past 3 games as his targets have started to dwindle for whatever reason. And again, this week, as you pointed out, I mean, they're facing the Saints. They're allowing the fewest fantasy points per game to running backs this season. So you know what you're getting yourself into if you start him up. You know, if he plays, he's probably going to get 13 to 15 carries. Maybe scores a touchdown. He'll get you 1, maybe 2 targets in the game. And it is what it is. If he doesn't score, it's a disaster. If he does, it's going to be an okay day. So if you have better options, I would go that direction. He's RB28 on my board. So by no means a must start, but he's certainly in the flex conversation.
Okay. When you look at these wide receivers, obviously if Julio is going to play, he's somebody that you're starting. He's a top 10 wide receiver for both of us. Is there any chance that he's going to get shadow coverage this week if he does play?
Yeah, there's a chance. You know, you think back to when Marshawn Lattimore entered the NFL back in 2017, still under 25.
2007, wow.
That would be impressive if it was 2007. So he's been around a few years. Jones, they haven't really matched up a ton because there was one game where like Lattimore shadowed Ridley. Otherwise, one of them has missed almost every game. It's kind of incredible. But if you look at Jones's 5 games against the Saints since Lattimore was drafted, and again, Lattimore at times has been one of the best corners in the NFL, his lines are 5 catches for 98 yards, 7 for 149, 5 for 96, 11 for 147, and 3 for 79. Yes, I know he didn't score a touchdown, Daniel. Mm-hmm,
that's all right.
I know that, but the yardage and catch totals have been terrific. So look, you're starting Julio Jones, and also, you know, I know we're going to get to him in a second, but there's been 6 full games this season that Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley played together. They are both top 4 fantasy receivers those weeks. So Ridley has not dropped off when Jones has played. They're both top 4 those weeks. So Saints, terrific against the perimeter. Fewest fantasy points allowed. It is a tough matchup, but Jones, Ridley, you start him.
So that is my question. Is it as simple for you as if Julio Jones starts, then both Calvin Ridley and potentially Matt Ryan are at least considerable options for your fantasy lineup this week?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, again, Ridley's been top 38 of 10 weeks as well. And as mentioned, when Jones has played, he's been better, oddly enough. So both of those guys are should be locked in. As for Matt Ryan, actually, no, for Matt Ryan. I'm going to answer this separately. So Ridley, yes, you always start him. Ryan, no, I have him 19th. Look, he hasn't been good for a while. When they played the Saints the last time, and again, the Saints' 4th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, they started slow this season, allowed a ton of points. They've been very good as of late. They're not facing as much volume either lately with Taysom Hill in there, keeping the clock moving, running the ball quite often. But Ryan really struggled. His worst game of the year was against the Saints a couple weeks ago. And week six, that was a long time ago, right? What is it? Week 13?
Feels like it was a long time ago.
Week six, that was the last time Matt Ryan was a top 12 fantasy quarterback.
Wow.
I mean.
Wow.
Do you want him in your lineup? I feel great about that.
So there was so much about this, his splits without Julio Jones, where he's just markedly worse without Julio in the lineup. But, you know, I've got him right now. I have him at 11 under the assumption that Julio plays. So even if Julio plays, he's just outside of my top 10. If Julio doesn't play, he would probably drop down closer into that, you know, 16, 17, 18 range, closer where you have him anyways.
Yeah, just the struggles and the possibility that Jones is limited and he doesn't have value with his legs and they're playing the Saints. I mean, you add all that together, quarterbacks, there's a lot of good quarterbacks.
A lot of good quarterbacks.
Even with a couple injuries and Tom Brady's on a bye, as is Teddy Bridgewater, still, you have a lot of good options. I don't think you need to force feed Ryan into your lineup.
Okay, Stefania, on the other side of that game, we have Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas, two literally top 10 picks in fantasy so far this year that have really struggled. Any chances that they'll be out there here this week?
I expect both of them to be out there. You know, Michael Thomas obviously missed extensive time with that high ankle sprain. So seeing him getting limited work during a week and having it be labeled that it's due to his ankle really doesn't come as a surprise. That's often the case with an injury like that, that you'll get less practice reps during the week. And of course, they have to document it. So I don't think his status is really in jeopardy. Alvin Kamara has been listed routinely on the injury report because of his foot, sort of a load management thing that they've done with him. And it allows him to do what he does on Sunday. Although Taysom Hill doesn't seem to allow Alvin Kamara to do what he does on Sunday. And I think that's been the bigger issue for him the last couple of weeks. Not really the foot that I'm concerned about.
Yeah. Stefania brings up a huge point here that we've been talking about all week long, where Alvin Kamara has just not looked like the Alvin Kamara that we know of with Taysom Hill under center. The idea that he's got one catch for negative 2 yards over the last 2 weeks is unreal. This is Alvin Kamara. Like, that's his bread and butter. That's where his game is. So all of us rankers have him still as a top 8 play. I don't know how you don't play Alvin Kamara, because you think sooner or later they find a way to make him get involved in this passing game.
Yeah, and it's funny. He's had his two worst games of the season have been the past 2 weeks, right? He was still, last week was the second worst game in fantasy of his career. He was still RB34. So wow. Think about that. Like, a lot of people are, you know, a lot of people watching are maybe in 10 team leagues, certainly 12 team leagues. But if you're talking 12 and you start two running backs, it's 24. You start a flex, then you're getting into like 36. I mean, he was still like a viable flex option in this second worst game of his career. The week before, which was also a bad game, he was inside the top 25 as well at running back. And every other week this season, he has been in the top 10. So, yeah, I mean, even in worst-case scenario situations, Alvin Kamara is at least on that radar and, you know, producing in that flex conversation. He has to be in your lineup. And, yeah, only 3 targets this past 2 games. I mean, come on. They're in meetings this week. Like, we have to throw him the ball. We have to get him the football.
Yes.
And if it doesn't, if this continues and Taysom Hill just doesn't register to throw it to him and keeps pushing it downfield when he throws the ball, it's going to be a problem, because him not getting a bulk of the carries is nothing new. He gets 45-50% of the carries, maybe sometimes below that, because they use Latavius Murray so often, who we'll get to here in a second. But that's not going to change. So they have to get him 5, 6, 7 targets for him to pay off in fantasy. So we'll keep an eye on that. But I'll tell you what, as somebody who has him on one of my best teams this year, hurry back, Drew Brees, please. Like, come on, man. Like, we need to get Alvin Kamara the ball. He's too good.
You already alluded to this. You talked about Latavius Murray earlier. Smart lineup decisions is informed by IBM Watson. And Latavius Murray, coming off his second boom performance of the season, he has an 18% chance to get his third. And that'd mean at least 11 fantasy points this week. Mike, do you like his chances to hit that 11-point fantasy mark this week?
I think he has a shot at it. I have him RB34, but look, last week he's coming off a huge game, obviously. He had 20 touches, 126 yards, and 2 touchdowns in that game. Again, they were ahead. You're able to run the ball, and when they do that, you're going to see more Latavius Murray for sure. But it's only his second weekly finish better than 25th this season, right? So he's generally gotten, again, basically splits the carries with Alvin Kamara, but doesn't do anything as a pass catcher. So that's a problem. Also, maybe a little bit of a trap here, right? You think the Falcons, you think, all right, bad defense, right? This is a game where they could just, you know, run it a ton, produce a ton from their running backs. They're allowing the fourth fewest fantasy points to running backs this season, the Falcons. That includes, you know, early on when they were really struggling defensively. And it's been really good as of late. So if you look back to week five, they allowed 30 fantasy points to Mike Davis. It was one of Mike Davis's big games. Since that point, so again, 30 points in that game to one player. In six games since, they've allowed 69 fantasy points to running backs. Total.
Wow.
That's it. DeAndre Swift's on that list. Alvin Kamara. Mike Davis again. Josh Jacobs. Gordon and Lindsey. That's not bad, right? It's not like a walk in the park matchups. 69 total points in those six games. So they have been really good. And for me, that means maybe Alvin Kamara, if he gets a ton of passing down work, can pay off a decent day. But I think Murray's going to have a harder time getting there.
Okay. And real quick, I just want to wrap up here on Michael Thomas. Stefania feels good about him. Obviously, there's been some struggles with Taysom Hill. The whole offense has been like that. But you're still starting him. If you have Michael Thomas on your roster, he's still at a minimum a wide receiver two for us.
Yeah. I hate to admit this, but I had a side bet with Matthew, a sushi bet, right?
And okay,
actually, we did this on Fantasy Football Now a couple weeks ago. And I was wrong. I mean, he hit the nail on the head because what I said was they're going to run a lot. Taysom's going to scramble. The volume's not going to be there. He already hasn't been producing. And he's like, every time he throws, it's going to Thomas. That was basically his logic. And I mean, as someone who does projections, that's not logical.
Right.
But here's the thing. Week 11 against the Falcons, Taysom's first start, he had a 52% target share. Like, again, I'm never going to project that. That's a ridiculous number.
Right.
Even superstars are getting like 30%. Over the past two games, he's handled 76% of the air yards. Again, just an astronomical, unrealistic, ridiculous number. But if Taysom just keeps throwing it to him, no matter what, when he's throwing the football, he's going to be a borderline wide receiver one. So he's a wide receiver 12 on my board. Falcons have had the second most fantasy points to receivers this season. It is a pretty good matchup. So, yeah, I mean, I was wrong. Keep rolling with Thomas.
Keep rolling with Thomas. You can't not have Michael Thomas in your fantasy lineup, regardless of how bad it has been.
Yep.
With Taysom Hill. You just have to have him in there. All right, thank you so much, Stefania. We know she had to run to be able to be with, you know, her and Rico. They got a lot of Thursday afternoon plans around the house. So thank you to Stefania for being here with us. Mike, why don't we move ahead and talk about a couple of guys here that are pretty near and dear to your heart. You have a wide receiver cornerback matchup that you write every single week.
I do.
You're available on ESPN Plus. And it's one of our favorite, one of my favorite articles to read because there's so much great information there to be able to understand where my expectations are on different players. So I want to start there and talk about DK Metcalf because under any circumstance, it's just like, oh, you know what, we should just put DK Metcalf here in your lineup. But I'm curious, when you're looking at DK, when you're looking at this matchup that he has, is it an upgrade or a downgrade based on his matchup this week?
Yeah, so sometimes it's tricky when I'm writing this column because, you know, and this would apply to Devontae Adams this week as well, going up against Darius Slay. And it does with DK Metcalf against James Bradbury, right? Like, they're pretty good corners, you know, and you're a little nervous because, you know, that corner could show up that week and just have a good game and it's trouble for the wide receiver. But it's also Devontae Adams and DK Metcalf, right? Technically, it's a downgrade because he's facing a good corner as opposed to facing a bad corner. He's still fifth on my board, right? So obviously I hate him, right? I'm downgrading him from wide receiver two to five. You know, you still have to start him. But here's the thing about just a little background on this matchup. Bradbury has shadowed in eight games this season. He's near the top of the NFL in that department. Allen Robinson, Amari Cooper, Mike Evans, Terry McLaurin twice. He's been busy. And he did shadow DK Metcalf last season. He was on him on 18 of his 26 routes. Metcalf only had 36 yards and a touchdown on two catches in that game. And actually, the touchdown came away from his coverage. He only had one catch for 17 yards against Bradbury. So, again, he did a nice job against him. We talked about this earlier this season with Patrick Peterson, a guy who had success against Metcalf and did it again this season and ended up with Metcalf's one of his worst games of the season. And also the Giants, believe it or not, six fewest fantasy points to wide receivers over the past month. But again, he just was shadowed by Darius Slay at 10 catches for 177 yards. So there's a lot going on here. I get it. Maybe in DFS cash games you go another direction, but in season long in tournaments DFS you're starting DK Metcalf.
You're still playing him.
Yeah, I said a lot of words to say start DK Metcalf.
Sure,
anyway.
It's just downgrading expectations slightly because this week he's just got a matchup that's a little bit tougher than normal. So
you got it.
Another guy that I think that fantasy managers have really been able to hopefully be able to rely on here in these upcoming playoff weeks. Devontae Parker, the Dolphins taking on the Bengals this week. Positive matchup or negative matchup here this week for Devontae Parker?
A negative matchup. He was actually one of the only things I did right in DFS last week was Devontae Parker. That was a good call and a good matchup, but not this week. It's going to be a tough one. So he's wide receiver 19 on my board. That's a downgrade from where I think he's going to be going forward. He's going to draw William Jackson shadow coverage. Now, Last week, the Giants played the Bengals, okay?
Yep.
And you may have noticed that Sterling Shepard and Golden Tate both had 8-plus targets in that game. And Darius Slayton had 0 catches. Like, what happened there? Well, he was shadowed by William Jackson. He has emerged as one of the best young corners, really one of the best overall corners in the NFL this season. He shadowed DeSean Jackson, T.Y. Hilton, A.J. Brown, Terry McLaurin, and, of course, Slayton last week. And it has showed up statistically. So if you break down fantasy points allowed by the Bengals, they've allowed the 7th fewest fantasy points to left wide receivers, left perimeter receivers.
Okay.
That is, of course, William Jackson's side. He's been there just under 80% of the time. The other side of the field, right perimeter wide receivers, they've allowed the most fantasy points this season over the past 8 weeks and over the past month. LaShawn Sims on that side cannot stop anyone. William Jackson is stopping everyone this week. I fully expect Jackson to shadow Parker. Maybe that opens the door for Jakeem Grant on the other side. We'll see if he's healthy enough to play a full game. It's risky, but in a DFS tournament setting or if you're desperate for your flex in a 12-team league, maybe that's a direction that you can go. But Parker, downgrade.
All right. Let's move ahead to Cole Beasley. These Buffalo Bills are taking on the 49ers, who have surprisingly, despite all the injuries and everything stacked against them, they've put together a pretty good defensive front here. But is it a positive or negative matchup for Beasley this week?
Yeah, it's positive. Jamar Taylor on injured reserve for San Francisco. That essentially locks Emmanuel Mosley in as their primary slot corner. And he generally plays on the outside, but Jason Verrett is healthy this season and playing some of the best ball of his career. Richard Sherman is back and healthy. He had an interception last week, and he's ready to go. So those guys are locked in outside. Mosley is in the slot here. So Sherman and Verrett, they'll be on Stephon Diggs and Gabriel Davis on the outside. That opens the door for Beasley in the slot against Mosley, who, look, he's been targeted on almost 30% of his coverage snaps. He's allowing a little over a half fantasy point per game or per coverage snap this season. Both of them, I realize nobody watching is context for that, but they are both very, very poor. So I think that with the guys on the outside kind of locked in or locked down in this one, tough matchups, it should open the door for Beasley to see one of them 8-plus, 10-plus target games inside. I think the targets will be funneled his way in this one.
Nice. Love to hear that. Cole Beasley is one of those guys that never feels sexy to put in your fantasy lineup, but when you need that floor, when you need something, like, he's always seeming to deliver for you, which is great.
Right, and usually, like, the short area slot sort of receivers, you're like, there's no upside there, right?
Yeah.
But he's one of the guys that shows up at 25 points out of nowhere sometimes, and I think this could be one of those situations if Josh Allen is not able to get the ball to the perimeter.
Yeah, love that. All right, one more wide receiver here we want to talk about. Robert Woods taking on the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, every time you mention the Cardinals, you think about Patrick Peterson. Is this a downgrade because there's a potential Peterson matchup here, or an upgrade because he's going to not have Peterson?
Well, here's the thing. Peterson did shadow him in one of the two games between these teams last season, and Robert Woods was good in both of those games.
Really?
13 catches, 172 yards in the first one when he wasn't shadowed.
Yep.
Yes. 7 for 67 and a touchdown in the second game when he was shadowed by Peterson.
Still good.
28 targets in those two games last season. So
wow.
They clearly just got him the football. Arizona's defense still not great. Second most fantasy points to receivers over the past 8 weeks. Sixth most to the perimeter, which is where Robert Woods and Josh Reynolds primarily aligned. So we're upgrading Woods, who I think they may shadow with Peterson. It's not a lock, but I don't think it matters. He has not been dominant except against DK Metcalf this season for whatever reason. And Josh Reynolds, you can upgrade as well. He's going to see a lot of Drake Kirkpatrick. He has really struggled this season. So Woods, Reynolds up. And kind of a neutral matchup for Cooper Kupp, by the way. You feel good starting him, but Byron Murphy, the young corner, has moved to the slot full-time this season and has done a much better job.
Okay. Love that. Check out the wide receiver cornerback matchup column on ESPN Plus. Mike writes it every single week. It's one of my favorite things to read. I swear it is. I really do promise. I'm not just saying that because we're here.
It seems more genuine when it's Field saying it, but okay.
Really?
I mean, yeah, a little bit.
I don't know. I really do read the column. I swear I do. And I have ESPN
Plus. He sells
it
a little better.
So.
Wow. I'm just used to you talking smack so much that
it's because,
like,
we're so close. I don't feel like I need to, you know, I don't need to butter you up. All right, let's talk about some love-hate. Without Matthew Berry being here, we still have a love-hate column that we want to make sure everybody knows about. Week 13, it is out right now. Go check it out. I know Matthew spent a bunch of time on it. We already talked about a couple of these guys a little bit earlier in the show. Taysom Hill makes the love list, and Todd Gurley, unfortunately, makes the hate list. Mm. So we're going to preload those two on there, as we mentioned them earlier with Stefania. But Mike, Raheem Mostert makes the love list for Matthew Berry. When you look at Raheem Mostert, 16 carries for 43 yards and a touchdown in his return last week against the Rams. Do you agree with Matthew on a good matchup here for Raheem Mostert?
Yeah, I was kind of hoping I wouldn't on one of these, so maybe I could like do a double or nothing sushi bit or something. But sure. I fully agree with both the guys we're going to talk about here. So Raheem Mostert, yeah, he only played 40% of the snaps in that game. You'd like to see that be a little higher, but it's nothing to panic about by any means. Mostert has been a top 25 fantasy running back in every game he's played this season. Just he's delivered the goods for sure. He had 22 targets in 16 games all of last season. He already has 14 in 5 games this season. He has 2 more catches in all 5 of his games. So he's still getting a good chunk of the rushing work here. He's getting the touchdown opportunities. And now his targets are up a little bit, which helps you feel better about his floor. As for the matchup, they're playing the Bills. 7th most rushing yards and rushing touchdowns allowed to running backs this season. The 4.6 yards per carry they've allowed is 8th highest in the NFL. So, you know, we typically think of the Bills as a very good dominant defense, and at times they are, but they have not been very effective against running backs this season.
Okay, let's talk about the other player here. Kyler Murray, week 11 against Seattle, season low 20.3 fantasy points. I'm sorry, though. If that's your season low of 20.3 fantasy points, like you're still doing pretty well. However, tough matchup here, Mike. He makes the hate list for Matthew. Do you agree with Matthew on this one, too?
Yeah, I do. I hate it because I have him on a ton of teams. Fortunately, Scott Fishbowl, I have a bye.
Which is great.
Got myself on the back a little bit. I got a bye, so I don't need him this week, which is convenient and a tough matchup. But I do have a lot of Kyler Murray, so this one hurts a little bit. But look, he did have 20 or more fantasy points in every game before that dud last week. A season low 2 designed rushing attempts, which bothers me a little bit for sure. So. The Patriots last week, right? They played the Patriots.
Correct.
Patriots last week. They played the Rams this week. But again, you're worried about that because he's not fully healthy. We know that. And he hasn't been running the ball quite as much as of late. Total of 46 rushing yards and 0 touchdowns over his past 2 games. He averaged 67 yards a game and had 10 touchdowns during weeks 1 through 10. So sometimes we think a guy's hurt. Maybe it's going to limit them and it doesn't show up on the stat sheet. It has so far for Kyler Murray. And that makes me a little bit nervous. He's also facing the Rams this week. 2nd fewest fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks. 4th fewest pass yards. Only 11 passing touchdowns allowed this season by the Rams. They're top 7 in sacks and interceptions. You don't want to hear that either with Kyler on the other side. So this is a tough one for sure. He's still QB8 because he's playing well. Offense is scoring. You hope he's healthier and can run the ball a little bit, but I'm very nervous.
Yeah, for the sake of DeAndre Hopkins, please, Kyler Murray, have a good game this week. All of us fantasy managers that have Nuke would love to see it. All right, so quickly to recap, Raheem Mostert, Taysom Hill make the love list. Kyler Murray, Todd Gurley make the hate list. Go check it out right now on ESPN.com. Matthew Berry's Week 13 Love Hate. Whatever you want to protect, nobody has more ways to help you keep it safe than ADT. You can customize an ADT security package to help protect your home in a way that works for you and your budget. Whether you just want the basics or all the bells and whistles, ADT can work with you to customize a home to help protect you. HD video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats, flood sensors, and fire and carbon monoxide detectors that are all connected to 24/7 monitoring, controlled by the sound of your voice or the ADT app. All ADT products are rigorously tested to deliver the quality you expect from ADT, the most trusted name in home security. ADT expert installers average 10 plus years of experience, and they want you to be happy with your ADT service. That's why they provide one of the best money-back guarantees from a national security provider. Protect now, pay later, with low, flexible monthly payments to fit your budget. Support our friends at ADT because they support us.
Truly Lemonade is a refreshing mix of lemonade and hard seltzer that is perfect for game day. If life or your fantasy lineup gives you lemons, make lemonade. Maybe even win your matchup with a surprise standout and keep the good times going with Truly. Bring the flavor to game day as only you can. We'll keep it light, crisp, and crushable. Truly Lemonade comes in 4 refreshing flavors. Original, strawberry, mango, and black cherry. I need to get myself some black cherry for sure. Truly Hard Seltzer. Live Truly.
All right, Mike, let's go rapid fire. We've got about 10 to 12 minutes left. We got a bunch of names we still want to get to, so we're going to go quickly through these guys. Trust is a really tough word right now when you're talking about Lamar Jackson. However, is it possible that this week is a week where he can right the ship and give fantasy managers what they have been expecting from Lamar so far in 2020?
I think so. I have him QB4, and that makes me a little nervous. Assuming he's back on the field, all right? Right, he's on the COVID list. He missed the Wednesday night game. But he's still the number 1 quarterback in carries and 2nd in rushing yards, and he's facing Dallas. They face the 5th fewest pass attempts this season, but they've allowed the most touchdowns with 24 to quarterbacks and have the third fewest interceptions. It does set up for a good day for him. You know, he's been struggling, but he's still a top 10 fantasy quarterback. So I say start him.
Start him. All right, Cam Newton taking on a Chargers defense that ranks 25th against quarterbacks. Does Cam make I don't want to say top 10, but like, is he a starter that you feel confident in this week?
I'm QB 11. I'm actually higher than you. So 12-team leagues, I think he could start him. I'm actually going to stream him in place of Tom Brady this week in one league. Look, he has only one top 10 since his return from the COVID list, but he has 17 or more fantasy points in 5 of his 7 games. So he's been kind of hanging on as a borderline QB 1. The passing touchdowns aren't going to be there. The rushing production will be there. Tough game on the road against the Chargers traveling across the country. But as long as he keeps running the ball and falls in the end zone for a touchdown or two, it'll be an okay fantasy today. So that's it. He's an okay play.
You know, an okay play.
Nothing spectacular.
All right, let's talk about his running back then. James White. I currently have him at 29. You have him at running back 27. One of four running backs with 14-plus fantasy points in each of his past 2 weeks. How much confidence do you have in James White, understanding that it kind of feels hit or miss based on Cam Newton?
Yeah, again, he's supposed to be a high floor guy, right? And he has not been. He's been all over the place. 8 or more targets in 3 games, but 3 or fewer in 4 of his 9 games this season. He had the 2 touchdowns last week. Don't buy into that. He had 5 carries and 1 target in that game. You need the targets for James White. The touchdowns aren't usually going to be there. But I will say this. They're playing the Chargers, 10th most fantasy points to running backs. More importantly, 4th most receptions allowed to running backs this season. That obviously is right in James White's wheelhouse.
Yes, it is. All right, Jonathan Taylor. Man, Houston ranks 31st against running backs. And if there was a spot to see Jonathan Taylor kind of reclaim this backfield as his own, it feels like taking on the Texans this week could be it, Mike. He's sort of a low-end RB2, high-end flex play for both of us. But I'm curious, there's so much about Jonathan Taylor that is just, it feels so up in the air because from week to week, it's like, I want to see more from him. I know that there's more potential there. I'm hoping this week is the week that we see it.
Yeah, the roller coaster has been unreal. And finally, you felt good. And the last time we saw him, right, 22 carries and 4 targets, 114 yards in that last game. Then he goes on the COVID list, misses the last game. Now we don't know really how much he's going to play in this one. But like you said, great matchup against Houston. Second most fantasy points to running backs. 186 scrimmage yards per game and one or more rushing touchdown allowed in 10 of their 11 games.
Wow.
186 and at least one touchdown in 10 of 11 games. They've been dreadful against running backs. That's why, for me, and we talked about it earlier, Taylor just inside my top 20.
Okay. Clyde Edwards-Helaire taking on the Broncos this week. This is one of those situations where I'd like to see more from CEH because those goal line touches, being able to get in the end zone just has not been there. But this week against Denver, Mike, do you like CEH?
Yeah, I do. I have him RB15. 2 duds in his past 3 games makes you a little bit alarmed.
A little nervous.
But he's been top 26 in 9 of his 11 games this season. He only has 3 targets in his past 2 games. I think part of that was just like last week it was, okay, Tyreek Hill is open on every single play. I'm just going to, he had 200-plus yards in the first quarter.
Yep.
So that was part of that. But he is clearly the number one running back, and that's important. He's played 164 snaps to 94 for Le'Veon Bell since he arrived. It's a mid-pack matchup. The Broncos are kind of in the middle of the league in terms of running back points allowed to running backs. Fantasy points allowed to running backs. They've been worse lately than they were earlier this season when they were doing well. So I think he's fine as a good RB2.
Okay. We talked about DK Metcalf earlier in the show. Tyler Lockett, Mike, I'm curious, do you like his matchup this week as somebody that's potentially a top 10 to 12 play here?
Yeah, I think so. We talked about DK Metcalf before, and he is James Bradbury on the outside. Mm-hmm. Well, Tyler Lockett will be in the slot up against Darnay Holmes. It's a good spot to be against this Giants defense. Look, the problem really with Lockett, and the reason he's not a ranked top 5 or top 10 anymore, is he had 53 fantasy points in week 7. He has 54 in his past 5 games, right?
Wow.
The production has just plummeted. One top 30 fantasy week during that span. He still has 7 or more targets in 3 of his past 4, and it's a Russell Wilson offense. You know, they're running more now, but it's still very productive, so he's still a wide receiver too, but I don't feel as good as I did a month ago.
So speaking about feeling good a month ago, obviously Tyler Boyd is a wide receiver that we have all really loved this year. And now with everything that's going on with Joe Burrow and a new quarterback, is Tyler Boyd still startable for you in standard 10-team leagues?
Standard is in PPR.
Yes.
We need to lose standard.
Like, sorry.
PPR is our standard, leagues. But it's standard or PPR. It should be non-PPR or PPR. So you're throwing
I think
me
standard
off
should be PPR, right? And then non-PPR
should not use that word at all.
Okay.
It should be non-PPR just out of, PPR.
Just
makes
take it
very
out.
Simple.
I'll never say the word standard ever
Thank
again.
Thank you. Lesson learned today. Look, he's wide receiver 27 in PPR formats, a little lower in non-PPR. He had 15 yards last week receiving. That's his fewest since week 11 last season, right? So you would expect more, even with the downgrade at the quarterback position. Still had six targets in that game. Still has six or more targets in 10 straight games. And the strength of the Dolphins' defense is the perimeter. Xavien Howard, his health, he's terrific. They have Byron Jones on the other side. He's terrific. But Nick Needham in the slot, not quite as good. So it's a good matchup for Boyd in the slot. I think he'll have a better day. Not a great day. It's going to be tough with Brandon Allen, a quarterback, but a better day. He's a top 30 play.
Okay. Let's quickly look at the Texans because we talked earlier this week, obviously, everything that's gone on with Will Fuller. Time to put our money where our mouth is. And Deshaun Watson, for both of us, still a top 10 play, regardless of not having Will Fuller. We still like him this week. Brandon Cooks, Mike, top 20 for both of us, but really tough matchups for both of these guys here against Indy.
Yeah, the next few weeks, right? Watson was already a guy I was worried about before the injury or the suspension to Will Fuller, the injury to Randall Cobb, the release of Kenny Stills. They've played the Colts twice and the Bears over the next 3 weeks.
It's not great.
Not great.
Not great.
Yeah, not great. So that's going to be rough. You know, as for Cooks, though, look, he was wide receiver 28 with Will Fuller. He's averaging seven targets a game. Those numbers should go up. Now, you'll get more defensive attention, don't get me wrong, but those numbers should go up without Will Fuller and all of his usage there. Like you said, it is tough matchups over the next few weeks, but I have him wide receiver 16 because he should be featured. I mean, it's him, it's Kiki QT, who they don't like in that team on that team. I mean, he's been buried or a healthy scratch most of the last 2 years. Steven Mitchell, who has been on the practice squad all season, and Isaiah Coulter, a round five rookie, who they really have not wanted on the field so far. It's a rough situation. They have to get the ball to Brandon Cook, so I still think he's a must start.
Okay. All right, one more wide receiver I want to talk about here. Jarvis Landry obviously had a massive game last week, but it was his only game so far this season with more than 16 fantasy points. Feels more like the exception than the rule. But is there any chance against Tennessee, who is definitely a good matchup for wide receivers, that he can keep this train rolling?
I think that last week was closer to the rule. And the reason is that since Odell Beckham went down for the season, the Browns had three straight home games, and all of them were in horrible weather conditions. He also wasn't 100% earlier this season, and he seems to be now. He has a 30% target share since OBJ went down. Had the three bad weather games and the 12 targets in the huge game last week. And he's also facing the Titans, fifth most fantasy points to wide receivers this season. They've been good efficiency-wise, but teams have had to throw it against them, and the volume has been there, and the fantasy points have been there. So Landry, wide receiver 26, I think he should be in lineups.
Okay. It's tough this week because if you're going to be without Tom Brady, hopefully you already picked up a quarterback based on, like, we're in playoff matchups at this point, getting right to the fantasy playoffs. However, if you have not replaced Tom Brady yet or you need to, a couple quarterbacks here that we can look at off the waiver wire. Phillip Rivers taking on the Texans. Texans are 22nd against quarterbacks this week, Mike, but I'm curious, Phillip Rivers doesn't inspire a ton of confidence.
Nope. Two weekly finishes better than QB10 this season. None since week 8. The passing yards are there. I get it. He's occasionally hit two or three touchdowns. It's just Phillip Rivers has not been a good fantasy quarterback for it many, many, many years. And that's not going to change, I don't think, this week. QB22 on my board. I think he's probably the worst streaming option of the guys we're going to talk about.
All right. What about Kirk Cousins? Obviously, you love his wide receivers and what he can do with both Thielen and Jefferson. Taking on Jacksonville, do you like him a little bit more?
A little bit more, but look, he's at back-to-back top 5 weeks. Before that, he had no finishes better than QB 80. He's had five worse than QB 16. This is a run-heavy offense. They're playing Jacksonville. They should be able to run the ball as much as they want. And look, if Cook comes out strong after a down game last week, it scores a couple touchdowns.
Yep.
Cousins isn't going to throw three, you know, and he's not going to run a lot. So I don't feel great about him. It is a good matchup against Jacksonville, obviously, but I think he's more of he's QB 15 on my board. So.
Sure.
Don't feel great there.
Crazy to feel so confident in the wide receivers and not feel confident in the quarterback, but
that's
where we're at.
Again, I always hate that debate. It's like, well, how can you rank this quarterback so high but have none of his weapons lower, or vice versa? Look, if you throw 55% of your targets to two players, I mean, they're going to be good. And if you don't scramble and that's the only guys you throw to and you don't have many pass attempts otherwise, I mean, you're not going to be a good fantasy quarterback.
Yep. All right, two more here. We're going to roll it out. Derek Carr taking on the Jets. I think this matchup here is something that we have to at least look at. Do you like Derek Carr this week?
Not really. Zero passing touchdowns in two of his past three games. It's just the he has a total of 8 touchdowns during his past 6 games. He's just not a good same thing. He's not a good fantasy quarterback.
All right. So then that leaves us with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Is
There's
that
the
what
winner.
You're saying? This is the guy that
yes.
you need to go out and pick up if you have Tom Brady on your roster.
Yeah, facing Cincy, high floor, over 16 fantasy points in 6 straight games. He's played 7 weeks this season. He's been active. He's QB6.
Wow.
In those games. Bengals. 5th most passing touchdowns allowed. Fantasy points are kind of in the middle because, again, they don't face a lot of volume. They're always down in games, but it's a pretty good matchup. I like Fitz from this group.
Okay. All right, that's going to close it out for us, everyone. Thank you so much for hanging out with Mike and Stefania and I. Mike and I are going to stay here in the seat. We are going to record a DFS yes. podcast with Al Zeidenfeld afterwards. Make sure that you check out, obviously, with this being a Thursday podcast, check out everybody's Twitter feeds. A lot of news coming around, especially Stefania at Stefania_ESPN. Fantasy football now on Sunday and ESPN2 at 10 o'clock. Thank you guys so much. Don't forget to love each other. We love you guys. We'll talk to you soon. Fantasy, you're in the 06010.